Let's all turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Now, you might say, where's 1 Samuel? If you find the two books of Kings, go to the left, and you'll find 1 and 2 Samuel. They are right before the book of Kings. 1 Samuel, and I am going to be at chapter 28 towards the end of that first book. 1 Samuel chapter 28. I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning with these verses. 1 Samuel 28, starting with verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the Mediums and Spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams, or Urim, or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one at Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a spirit coming up out of the ground." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me, now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and night. Let's pray. Father, all of your scripture is useful and profitable for teaching, correcting, and rebuking the children of God. It's an interesting lesson we're learning here today, Lord. Some very interesting text of what happened to Saul. So, Father, may the truth that you want to reveal to us sink into our minds here this morning. Whatever they may be, we trust you and we trust your word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, and you may be seated here this morning. This is week number 12 in our ongoing sermon series on Old Testament lessons. And I have had several people come up to me and say how much they have been enjoying these old lessons and these old stories because they're not quite familiar with a lot what's happening in the Old Testament. And to be honest with you, I've been enjoying preparing these also. Today's message is titled The Incantation at Endor. There is one general overall lesson that we must learn from reading and studying these Old Testament stories, and it's this. Just because a situation is written in the Bible and the actions are performed by an Israelite or Israelites who are God's chosen people does not always make their actions right. But there will be those who claim to justify their ungodly actions by pointing to Scripture. And they will say something like this: see, there it is. It's in there. If they did it, then I can certainly do these things too. You see, God didn't punish them for their evil deeds. If they got away with it, then I can get away with it too. Well, the bottom line is that the same people who say these things are the same people who are actually twisting and they're distorting the Scriptures to suit their own evil desires and to suit their own itching ears. And today's reading is one of those pieces of Scripture that falls into this category. It should come as no small surprise to all of us that these Old Testament Bible characters that we are reading about performed some very ungodly acts. And today we read of one such story, the story of Saul, who is the first king of Israel, who stoops to the depths of seeking counsel from a medium, a witch, at a place called Endor. This story is one that if you were reading this late at night with all the lights down low, it could be very scary and very frightening. And it should. It should be very scary and it should be very frightening because it involves the occult. And the occult is strongly forbidden by the Lord. And anything occult, any occult practices, should scare each and every one of us. In this sermon title, I use the word incantation. So what is an incantation? And I have that definition on the inside of your bulletin here this morning. Webster defines an incantation as a use of spells or verbal charms spoken or sung as part of a ritual of magic. And we see an incantation in today's Scripture reading. The occult, magic, mediums, spiritists, palm readers, they were all forbidden by God then, and they are all forbidden by God today. Why is that? Well, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 13. It's written on the front of your bulletin. I'm going to read that. And God's word says this. If you got your bulletins, you can follow along. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Let's look at Saul's actions that we see in today's reading, and let's see where he went wrong. We read in verse number 3, chapter 28, verse 3, that Saul had expelled all the mediums and he expelled all the spiritists from the land. And that was a good thing. They were all supposed to be gone. Those are pagan practices. But now Saul is in trouble. The Philistines are about to attack Israel. And Saul inquires of the Lord, but the Lord does not respond. Either through dreams, through the Urim, or through the prophets. And that was the three different ways that the Lord would speak to his chosen people back then. Through dreams, that's pretty self-explanatory. But what is Urim? What is Urim? There was something in the Old Testament that came out during the Mosaic Law called Urim. And to make a long story short, it's pretty much this. It's casting lots. They would cast lots to see what the Lord's answer would be in a certain situation. But he didn't show up through Urim. And he did show up through the prophets, because the only prophet that was there next to Saul was the prophet Samuel, and he had just died. So no matter how Saul was trying to inquire of the Lord was not responding. Which should beg us to ask this question. Shouldn't the Lord respond with open arms every time and every time a person calls on him for counsel? And the answer to that is no, he does not. Well, let me explain. We just read that passage from Isaiah where it says that if you're going to consult mediums and spiritists and you're going to consult the dead, then don't bother consulting me, says the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing. But if we were to read all the events and all the actions in the life of King Saul, we find a man who is continually rejecting the word of God and the prophecy of God. It's a man who's continually sinning against the word of God. And this man's supposed to be the king of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the prophet Samuel tells Saul that because Saul has rejected the Lord has rejected him. So our first fill in the blank will say pretty much that same thing. Fill in the blank number one. Because Saul continually rejected the Lord, the word of the Lord, and sinned against the Lord rejected Saul. We find that in 1 Samuel 15:23. So here's a question for us today. Because I think this begs the question. Does there ever come a time when the Lord will reject us as he did Saul? If we seek counsel from the Lord, is there ever going to come a time when the Lord will say, forget it, Dave Shoemaker, you know, I'm just not going to answer you this time? And the answer to that would be, for a believer, no. There is never a time where the Lord is not going to respond to us. We got to remember this. The Lord has his claim on us. It's not that we have our claim on the Lord. The Lord has his claim on us. And because of this, his promises are always going to stand. He says this, I will never leave you or what? Or forsake you. I'm never going to do that for you. So he's always going to be there for us. Every time we consult the Lord, he will respond to us because we are believers. We are his children. But for an unbeliever, there will come a time where that unbeliever will be rejected. Now, let me explain, because I want to make sure we get this right. If an unbeliever goes to God and says, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the Lord will never, ever, ever turn down that unbeliever who is repentant, who wants to make and give his or her life to Christ. He will never turn them down. But there will come a time in the life of an unbeliever where the Lord will just reject that person because that person has continually rejected God. There's a little parable in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 8. It's a little parable, and let me kind of share that parable with you. It's this. There's a caretaker, and he takes care of the property of a landowner. And there's a fig tree that hasn't produced figs for 3 years. And the landowner says this, cut that fig tree down. And the servant says this, wait a second, time out. How about if I do this? Give me one more year. Let me dig around that fig tree. Let me fertilize that fig tree. Let me care for that fig tree. And then after 1 year, if it still doesn't bear any fruit, and the landowner says, I'll give you 1 year. And if it doesn't bear any fruit, you cut it down and you throw it into the fire. Does there come a time in the life of an unbeliever when they reject and reject and reject and reject God, and finally he rejects them? And the answer to that is absolutely. And that's what that parable was about. So let's move on back to our story. So when Saul, King Saul, receives no response from the Lord, he goes totally in the opposite direction. And he does something that he knows that he should not do. He consults a medium. The same people that he banished from the land back in verse number 3. And he easily finds one. A woman. A medium. A witch at a Philistine inhabited place called Endor. So Saul goes at night in disguise because it's enemy territory and he doesn't want this witch to know who he is, and he asks her to perform an incantation. He wants her to conjure up the spirit of his choosing. And initially she's saying, well, she kind of puts the brakes on. She knows that the king has banished all the mediums and spiritists from the land. And somehow this could be a trap, and she doesn't want to be trapped into this. Which leads us to our second fill in the blank. Our second fill in the blank is a word that begins with D. Saul's disobedience continues. So what does he do? She knows it might be a trap. So he makes a vow to the Lord that no punishment is going to come to her. A direct violation of the Mosaic law, one that is punishable by death, and King Saul knows it. But yet he decides to go that route anyways. Leviticus 20, 27 says this, a man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. That's pretty straightforward. Must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood will be on their own heads. There was no way that God wanted the occult to be a part of the nation of Israel. If you find somebody, you're going to stone them and you're going to put them to death. And here's King Saul, the king of God's chosen people, doing the one thing that he knows is absolutely wrong to do. The one person who could trap this woman, the one person who could put this woman to death, is the same person asking for this incantation. I think we could say that it's at this point that Saul is desperate for any sort of supernatural counsel, regardless of where it comes from, even if it comes from a witch, a medium. And he demands to have the spirit of the dead prophet Samuel conjured up. The text tells us that the woman begins her magic incantation ritual, and the dead spirit of Samuel arises up out of the earth and begins to communicate with Saul. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? Kind of creepy. Let's stop here. Stop right here. You may be asking, Mike, can something like this, contacting and speaking with the dead, really happen? Can people still and really do this today? Well, we know this. It certainly happened here, didn't it? Was it or something that can be practiced on a regular basis? Can people still do this today? Well, there are two schools of thought, two answers to that question, and I'll cover both of them, and I'll tell you what side I am on. One side would answer and say this: never underestimate the evil power of darkness. So, if that's the case, how far can Satan and his demons actually go? Can there be powers of darkness that can use Satan-possessed people and individuals to conjure up the dead? Some believe that there can. And these same individuals who believe that would say that this event that we read here was one that was perpetrated by the evil forces of darkness. That would be one answer. I'm over here on this side. Personally, I refuse to give Satan that much power. He's powerful. He ain't that powerful. He is not omnipotent. He can't do anything he wants. I believe the other answer to this question, and it's the answer that most theologians agree on, and that answer would be this. In this case, in the case of King Saul visiting this medium, even in the midst of a very ungodly occult practice, we see the sovereignty and the power of God allowing this event to occur, allowing a dead Samuel to speak and give one last prophecy to Saul. Can these things be done today? I don't believe they can. Let's talk about that prophecy. Samuel is conjured up from the dead, and he gives a prophecy to Saul. And it's twofold. It's in verse 19. Prophecy number one: Israel would be given over to the Philistines. And two, that Saul and his three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua, would soon die in those battles. If we were to move on to chapter 31 in 1 Samuel, we read that Israel is defeated in that battle, and that Saul and his three sons all die at the hands of the Philistines. Imagine that. The prophecy of a dead man conjured up by a medium in a forbidden occult practice still comes true. God can speak through whoever he chooses. I stated earlier in this message that just because a person performs a certain action, and it's written here in this Bible, either Old Testament or New, that does not always make their actions right and correct. Today, people will distort this reading from Samuel chapter 28, and they will use it as proof text today to allow them to dabble in the occult. May I remind all of us that dabbling in the occult, in any form of the occult, is still forbidden by the Word of God. So let's go through just a few things that we may see today out there in this world and make sure that we avoid them at every cost. Do not be tempted to have your fortune told. Do not visit a palm reader. Do not call the psychic hotline and ask your Aunt Helen what you should do. Every last one of these people, palm readers, fortune tellers, and that person at the other end of that psychic hotline, they're all frauds. Okay? They're all frauds. Do not trust in your horoscope reading or put any credibility whatsoever in your zodiac sign. We need to quit watching TV programs about mediums and people who claim that they can contact the dead. Burn your Ouija boards and your tarot cards. Don't sell them at your next yard sale and pass them along to the next unsuspecting person. And I might as well put vampires on this list too, because you see that kind of nonsense out there all over the place. All these things that I just mentioned, they are demonic. They are occult. And occultic practices are not the values of born-again believers like us. The word sorcery or witchcraft, words to that effect, can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, where Paul is giving a list of the deeds of the flesh. And he says the people who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He also, in Revelation 21, there's a list of deeds of those who will be thrown into the lake of fire at the final judgment. And we will see those who dabble in sorcery as part of that list also. These occult practices were forbidden in the Old Testament under the moral code, and they continue to be forbidden today under the new covenant. Now, I'm going to end up here by telling you three very quick stories. I promise I'll keep them all very short. The first one is this. A lady that Gail and I know, we know this lady as a very, very strong Christian woman. One day I was down at my local Rite Aid store, and I go up to the counter to purchase whatever I was to purchase, and there she is standing at the counter. And I hadn't seen her for a while, and I asked her how she was doing. She said, not real good. And I said, well, what's wrong? She said, I believe my husband and I were going to separate and get divorced. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, and to find out for sure, I went and I consulted a palm reader about it. And I'm thinking, you consulted a palm reader? A, don't you have a trusting sister in Christ that you could go to in your time of need? Someone that you could talk to who could give you some counsel and support and be a shoulder to lean on? Or don't you have a pastor at your church that you could talk to about your situation? But no, you decide to go to a palm reader? Unbelievable. Story number two. It was one of those summer afternoons when I was a youngster during the summer between this grade and this grade. I don't know how old I was. But there was a whole bunch of us, me and my three older sisters, and a bunch of us from the neighborhood, we were out on our back porch. Somebody brought a Ouija board. I had never seen a Ouija board before. You put your hand on this thing and you ask it a question and it directs you to your answer. And we're out there trying to figure this thing out, and my dad comes home from work. He comes out on the back porch to greet his family and all our friends. He sees a Ouija board there on the table. I don't know whose Ouija board that was, but they never took it home. That Ouija board was destroyed in a very short amount of time, thrown in the trash can, and the Owen children, me and my three older sisters, we never dabbled with Ouija boards ever again. I'll just leave the story at that. Third and final story. And this one is rather disturbing. There is a church in Redding, California, called Bethel Church. Bill Johnson and his wife are the pastors at that church. They have a very large attendance on Sunday, mostly youth and younger adults. They dabble in something called grave soaking. Now, what's grave soaking? Grave soaking would be this. You find the grave of a person that may have been very influential in your life or a very influential person in the history of the church, and you find their grave, and you go and you take yourself over their tombstone and you soak up their spirit. Grave soaking. Bethel Church in Redding, California. Trust me, they are going to become contagious. You might have heard of their singing group that comes from their church called Jesus Culture. Their Jesus Culture is the resident band there at Bethel Church. And when they're not singing for the Lord, they are going to gravesides and grave soaking. And my friends, I don't think I need to tell you. I can tell by the look on your face. You know that is an occult practice forbidden by the Lord, taught by a church. So let's just get this straight. I think we know this. Do not dabble in the occult. So are you seeking counsel for decisions that you need to make in life? We all do. I'm sure we all do. Do not seek counsel from the occult. Seek counsel from God. Ask Him. He will never leave us or forsake us. Proverbs 3:6 says this, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Yes. He shall direct your paths. The God that saved us will be the one directing our paths. So this morning, as we continue on with our worship service, let's worship God by preparing our hearts for communion here this morning, and we will stand at the last verse.